Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Excited now for you all to listen up, and maybe it's time to unlock your potential and start thriving with ADHD coaching. That's right. We're here with our experts and founder of Jay Vance D ADHD Life Coaching to talk more about the services she provides to individuals who think they may have or have diagnosed with ADHD. And, you know, a lot of people who are struggling functioning in the world, whether it's at work and their home. But as she's here to tell you, you don't have to worry. This can really, you can have this under control. And she offers one-on-one coaching, small group coaching, as well as webinars and trainings. So welcome to the show today, Janine. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jill?
I'm doing great as well. Where are you from?
Well, I'm in a little town called Nashville, Michigan. We don't even have a stoplight. So
really?
Yes. So, yeah, it's a pretty small place, but that's all right because I serve people all over the United States and Canada, and I even have a client in Ireland, so pretty much if you speak English, we'll figure something out.
All right. Well, where were you born and raised? Were you born in the Nashville area too or no?
I was actually born and raised in the Grand Rapids area in Michigan.
All right. And you said when you were young, you wanted to be a teacher. Could you share a little bit about your journey?
Absolutely. When I was a kid, I just knew I wanted to help other people. And, you know, I looked at a lot of different careers that did that, but education really is what met that niche for me. And so I went into special education, and I did special education for 30 years. I was a classroom teacher, a resource room teacher. I did it all. I worked with all the different disabilities. I looked at, I worked with K-12 kids. But like one thing that was always the same throughout was ADHD was there. No matter what the area, no matter what the age, we were always having ADHD. And so as my last 6 years, I was a central office administrator and continued to work in that area.
And so now you were working this in the Michigan area?
Yeah, so this was in Michigan. And so as I came up on my retirement, I was like, well, I've spent 30 years working with people with ADHD.
Yeah.
And I have ADHD. I just found out when I was 50. So it was a natural fit to go into the coaching because I really wanted to work one-on-one with people again and really see some of the fruits of my labor because administration kind of separates you from that.
Got it. Now, how did the medication work with you?
Game changer. Yeah. And I would never, I don't tell people they should or shouldn't take medication. But, you'd think 30 years of education, working with ADHD, knowing what this is.
Yeah.
I would have diagnosed myself, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. And that's one of the great things about coaching. And it is because you sometimes see things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise through other people's eyes. So I discovered I had ADHD when I was 50.
And from there, how ironic, right? Because you've been so good at helping others with it. Well, let's talk about that because I know you wanted to share a little bit about, well, first and foremost, the transformational power of life coaching through self-discovery. Do you want to share and tap in on that?
Absolutely. So when we work with people with ADHD, I work with ADHD people, I work with people who think they might have ADHD, I work with people who just may have some difficulty with executive functioning. Okay. So I lost track of your question because I have ADHD.
It was about the transformational power of life coaching. You wanted to talk about that through
Absolutely.
True self-discovery.
Absolutely. So if you go to my webpage, you'll notice there's butterflies everywhere.
Yes.
And butterflies go through a major transformation that we all recognize. We started recognizing that when we were, littles. And I kind of equate that to coaching because we all have that beautiful butterfly waiting to spread their wings. It's just sometimes we get so bogged down in everything that we can't get out of that cocoon. And through exploring how our brains work, exploring our values, our beliefs, discovering our strengths and how to use them more effectively, aligning our values and beliefs with the things that we're doing, and finding that disconnect. Because sometimes you find some really major disconnect in there and you're like, wait, this is why I'm having problems, because I don't have a value that lines up with this. And then just being able to identify your roadblocks and being aware of yourself. Those are all things that we work on in coaching, which can lead to building confidence, communication skills, being able to look at your own roadblocks and saying, I know what to do next, which is really, really important for people, because a lot of times they get stuck and they don't know where to go next. My goal is that at the end of coaching, you'll be able to say, I know that I have roadblocks, but now I can see what the roadblock is. And I know what questions to ask myself to work through those roadblocks. I myself have been coached through my, as well as being a coach, and have learned so much about myself in that process. Really has given me the more confidence, really has, you know, shed a lot of light on things for me. And so as a coach and as a coachee, I have seen the changes that happen within people when they're coached.
Also, let me ask, you've been doing this now, well, the coaching aspect of your business. When did you start this company?
So I'm pretty new. So it was a very natural progression for me, because I worked like my whole career with ADHD, and I realized there's a real need for support for adults ADHD.
Well, that's what you say. You want to talk a little more about the people you serve.
Yeah. But in that, you know, so in that process of figuring that all out, I lost track of my question again. So anyway, yes, the people I serve.
The people you serve, yes. And you mentioned, not K through 12, but you've worked with them in the past. So tell me about the ages of the people you work.
So, yeah, so when I was getting ready to retire, I looked in and I noticed there's this huge gap for especially college students. They get all these supports when they're in high school, and then all of a sudden they go out to college and adulting just becomes very impossible for them. I also work with adults who maybe weren't diagnosed as kids, but have been diagnosed as adults. One thing I want to say, though, about ADHD is a lot of people have this misconception that ADHD goes away, like you grow out of it. And up to 4% of adults in the United States are diagnosed with ADHD today. They guess that that's completely underestimated as far as how many function with it, because about 10% of our population of kiddos have ADHD. If you have ADHD, you're going to have it your whole life. It just is about whether or not you're really meeting the standards of the DSM-5, which is the manual that they use to diagnose, you know, mental conditions. And so sometimes you have better control, you have better management techniques, better strategies, and you may not meet those diagnostic criteria, but the brain is still working the same. You still have, and I'll just tell you real briefly, there's a dopamine in your brain that is, there's a little less of that with us with ADHD, and it doesn't work very effectively. And so those things happen, but we also have the amazing thing called neuroplasticity, which allows our brains to change and grow. So I chose to work with adults because after that K-12 experience, they're really kind of out there floundering on their own, trying to figure out how to do ADHD and adult life at the same time. And it can affect them in so many ways, like in the workplace. You know, you can have difficulty with organization, making meetings on time, all those things that, you know, you have a really hard time controlling, where you end up at the end of the day exhausted mentally. I know I did. I was, before I hit my tipping point, which I'm going to talk to you about a little bit. A tipping point in adults is when either you've had ADHD diagnosis before, but you've learned to manage your strategies and skills, and then all of a sudden you hit a tipping point and it doesn't work anymore. And kind of the same thing with people who are diagnosed for the first time. I was just really good at masking my symptoms, But the whole time I'm looking around at other people and I'm thinking, why is this so easy for them? Because this is really hard for me. So having that ADHD support in adulthood was so important to me, to continue to support those people as they go through those changes. Tipping points can be triggered by a lot of things. Big life events. You have a baby. All of a sudden, your strategies aren't working anymore. You move. You have a wedding, or it can be like perimenopause. Menopause really affects women a lot with ADHD. Or you just have been working and working and working, and all of a sudden you just reach capacity, and you just like nothing's working anymore. That's where I come in.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are glad you're here. Let's remind everyone of how we can contact you. Could you share the website again, phone number, any forms of social media before we continue?
Sure. So my website is JVANSTEE, ADHD Life Coaching. And my email is JVANSTEE, ADHD Life Coaching @gmail.com. And my phone number is 269-377-8957. You can find me on Facebook as well.
Now, do you mention you want to talk about some of the benefits to companies who choose to sponsor coaching and training for their workplace?
So, as we were saying earlier, I am fairly new to this, but I've got the 30 years of backup, you know, all that ADHD knowledge. So what I have found is that one of the most significant places in a person's life that is affected by their ADHD is their work. And businesses are getting wise to this. They're figuring out that, you know, some of our ADHD people are the most creative, out-of-the-box thinkers. They could be some of your shining stars, but because they don't necessarily fit into the boxes and you know, little holes that you want to peg them in, they're not living up to their full potential. So you may have a diamond in the rough sitting right there in front of you who's being held back by ADHD. So with businesses, I have worked with businesses and they have sponsored people to have me work with them as part of their ADA accommodations. The Americans with Disability Act makes it clear that we have to provide accommodations, reasonable accommodations to people with ADHD in the workplace. And more businesses are recognizing that coaching can be one of those things. Some of the things that I've seen come out of it is increased productivity, increased confidence, motivation, relationships, communication, executive skills have been improved. I just did an exit interview with one of my clients the other day, and it just made me feel so good because she said, I never thought that I would be able to communicate effectively with my boss because they were neurotypical and I'm so neurodivergent, which is, you know, with the ADHD is the divergence. And she was able to put that belief behind her and learn to communicate with her boss in an effective way during our coaching.
Got it. Well, do you mind sharing a little bit about the process of how it works to be coached by you? I know you do a lot of virtual sessions, but how long does somebody need coaching for? Is there any special programs? And what is the process and accountability factor of how many times you're meeting? Give us some insight into what it's like to be coached.
So I generally say 3 to 6 months. Some people would like to go longer. You know, they just think it's very beneficial. I've had a client for 9 months now. So usually about 3 to 6 months. I feel like you start to see real change around 3 months. And that's a session a week for that period of time. I also, like, you know, when we were talking about the companies, I can train supervisors about ADHD to help with that as well. So I do training. I do one-on-one coaching. I can do group coaching. So I have a plethora of things. So what coaching looks like is me asking you a lot of questions, making you really think about what's underneath that. And sometimes the aha is just, I had no idea that that was what was holding me back. So what it is you bring me a topic. You say, I'm really struggling at work with organization, specifically with this kind of organization. And it kind of feels like a problem solving process, you know, but during that process of working through that situation, you're asking yourself questions that you're learning how to think differently. So I may ask you, you know, well, what's holding you back? What about that? What is holding you back? How does that make you feel when that happens? How can you release that feeling? How do we get around this roadblock? If we can't break it down, how do we find paths around it? What strategies will work? So it's a lot of it's really a coachversation. Where you have a conversation with your coach and you start with a goal. And at the end of it, you hope to have what you were looking for by the end of that session. And we talk about your takeaways. And then I acknowledge the fact that you have had the absolute courage to step into this realm and try to better yourself.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And we still have 10 more minutes to talk. And I just want to remind everyone, if they go to your website, obviously, we can find out more there. So, Janine, do you offer an initial consultation, like a free 15-minute discovery call?
Absolutely. So I do a 15-minute consultation that you can sign up for on the website. And all of my sessions and all of my services start with that consultation.
Perfect.
Because I want people to meet me first, right? Because you may want to hire a coach, but you're like, I don't know who I want to hire. I understand, just like a counselor or a therapist, which yeah. I'm neither, and we can talk about that a little. You want the right person, right? I'm not going to fit for everybody. And everybody's not going to fit for me. And part of that is just building that relationship and seeing, is this something we can do and work together with? And then you can get your questions answered. And we really just get a chance to get to know each other a little bit. The consultation is the very first step for everything that we do.
Got it. Well, let me ask, you also are helping educators too, right? Not only the students.
Yes. So I work with adults, college students, and educators. And I put educators in a different category than just plain old adults because I've been an educator. I get it. I know what it's like to try to be an educator and do the whack-a-mole all day long trying to keep up with everything that's going on and looking around and saying, why is everybody else seem to have their crap together and I'm not? And so I've been there and I understand those struggles so true to the career, which is a great career because it's got all kinds of things that ADHD people love. Creativity, things change every day. Things, you know, there's always something new happening in education. But on the other side of that, there's a lot of structure, organization, those types of things, emotional regulation that you have to cope with all day long. So I give my all my educators, including administrators, teachers, counselors, psychologists, speech therapists, anybody who works with educating students, I give them a 10% discount because I just really understand the job that they're doing and in most cases, the pay they're getting.
Yeah. Well, do you want to share some of your client stories with us? It'd be great to hear, you know, the progress. You don't have to use anyone's names, but how it's sure. been going, how it's been helpful to some people. Some testimonials would be great.
Sure. So one of my favorite stories is a person that I was working with on organization at work. And he was struggling with getting his things organized. He was forgetting things. He's been doing this for years. He is famous for creating these beautiful spreadsheets that, you know, people just love. And they're, oh, this is such a great organizational tool. We think this is great. And he's like, it doesn't work for me. You know, it works for all my neurotypical peers, but it's not working for me. And after several sessions, we finally got down to, you know, the computer's not the way you organize. It's paper and pencil. You need to have it right there in front of you. And we started working with checklists and breaking down tasks into smaller chunks and looking at what needed to be done. And first of all, he realized, I'm not a complete failure. I'm doing a lot. during this process. And it's very, you know, self-validating as well. And then, so now he's doing great. He's not getting things turned in late. He's got his organization under control. But it took us a minute to get to the fact that, you know, the computer wasn't the way for him. You know, and I had another client who was having a lot of issues with, you know, self-doubt, those types of things. And we came around to, she really, really wasn't about self-doubt. It was about the fact that if you say positive things about yourself and you build yourself up and you put yourself out there in that positive way, that's immodest. That's, you know, you need to be modest. And that's a story that she carried over from her childhood, that modesty means that you can't tell people what you're good at, and you can't tell yourself even what you're good at, because people don't realize how much self-talk they do and how negatively it impacts them. So that was a huge aha, because she was like, wait a minute, no, I do believe in myself. It's just that I feel like it's braggadocious to be that way. So yeah, it's really exciting to see people make those breakthroughs and have those aha moments. I have a lady in Ireland who's also a teacher, and we work really well together. And she had just been diagnosed with ADHD, which is really, really common to seek coaching right after you're diagnosed. So I've been working with her, and she's made all kinds of discoveries about how she thinks, and she's gotten more confident, and she's gotten stronger. So it's been really exciting to do exactly what I said I wanted to do, which was help people one-on-one again, or help people where I can see those results happening.
Could you share some of the signs out there and symptoms of what we can look for to know if you're ADHD? If someone's out there questioning, maybe I have it, maybe I don't, and maybe how do you get diagnosed with it? Where do you go?
So, yeah, there's, you know, the real common symptoms everybody thinks of is, you know, people who can't sit still, or people who, you know, can't focus on anything. And I could talk for hours just about why ADHD is so misunderstood, but it's really not a lack of ability to focus. It's a lack of ability to regulate your focus. You focus on everything. And so the best thing to know about ADHD is it really presents differently in every person. But things that you're going to really commonly see is difficulty maintaining focus on things that you want to maintain focus on. Difficulty with time management, time blindness. People just forget that time exists. Out of sight, out of mind. This is one that a lot of people don't realize. Like, if you can't see it, it stops existing. Literally, you can forget you have friends because you haven't talked to them in so long. So it's a problem, because this leads to disorganization, because then people start just spreading things out all over the place so they can see them, so they know where they are. Emotional dysregulation is a really big aspect that's overlooked in adults. I don't know if you've ever heard the term RSD.
No. Okay. RSD? So RSD.
Yeah, RSD. It is rejection sensitive dysphoria. And literally, and it's not part of the ADHD diagnosis, but is so comorbid with it that it may as well be, is that any kind of rejection, real or imagined, feels like the world is coming to an end. It's just all encompassing. It causes rumination. You start, you know, redoing conversations in your head from that morning. Did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong? Should I have said that? You know, you may be going on that. And I'll tell you, with me, one time I had a conversation with a security guard at the library in the morning. I got a little snippy. I couldn't stop thinking about it all day and ended up having to call the library and talk to him. So it can feel like you can't move on with your life because you feel like there's been a rejection. This is really misinterpreted by a lot of people, because you automatically assume you're being rejected. And so people will say something that maybe a constructive comment is automatically going to send you into a triggered RSD episode where you can't hardly function. So that's just one of those things that a lot of people don't even realize is kind of attached to ADHD. And the other thing is, you know, there's those people who can't sit still in meetings, those hyperactive folks. Some of them, you know, squirm. Some of them, you know, do whatever they sketch. Some of them keep it all inside and build up this, like, kinetic energy almost, like they're going to explode. And they can get angry because they have to sit there that long and keep their stuff together, right?
Of course.
So some of those things that you don't normally recognize as being part of ADHD or the idea of how you make motivated decisions. This is one of my favorite things that I learned. People who are neurotypical make their decisions based on importance for the most part. If it's important, I need to do it, I'll do it. And then they look at a person with ADHD and they're like, if it's important, you'll do it, right? ADHDers' brains are motivated by novelty, challenge, just anything that's going to give them a little bit of a dopamine hit, right?
Yeah.
And then the importance is kind of secondary. So we sit here and we try to figure out how do we make something that's important yet uninteresting, because it has to be interesting to make it doable.
Yeah.
How do we make those important tasks interesting?
Well, thank
you.
So
it absolutely.
Well, we're just about out of time. I apologize, but we have to remind everyone how we can contact you, please.
Yes, JVANSTEE, ADHD Life Coaching .net, and JVANSTEE, ADHD Life Coaching @gmail.com. Those are going to be your best bets. And then I'm also on Facebook. Come check me out. And I didn't mention, we just launched our brand new website yesterday. So it's a beautiful new website. Come get your free workbook for strengths building and check it out.
Aw, thank you so much. And tell us the website one more time.
JVANSTEE, ADHD Life Coaching.net.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Pleasure having you here. Looking forward to the next time we get to connect. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers.
Day-to-day simple tasks can become pretty daunting.
I have to carry my chair up 2 flights of steps or have somebody do it for me.
What scares me the most is just the falling.
When I'm struggling with my house, I think, you know, to have that one great barrier just knocked down, I mean, it's crucial.
Home for Our Troops is a wonderful nonprofit that builds a mortgage-free, fully adaptive, handicap-accessible house.
And there's no catch.
It'll be our very first home that we've ever owned.
This is a game changer.
This is where your life begins again.
We need you to join us in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Because of you, everything's going to be okay.